Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see every one of you here with us today. I'm excited about Easter. I want to take a moment right here before we go any further, and I want us to pray because there are people already that is on your heart that you are thinking of inviting to our Easter service. And Easter is the biggest time of the year where a guest will attend church, and I want us to be very intentional about that, and I want us to take a moment right here in the service and just pray. You have someone on your mind, on your heart, and I just want us to pray for that person today, just believing that as that invitation goes to them, that they're going to respond, and who knows, this could be the service where everything in their life changes. This could be, that Easter service could be the service where they commit their life to Jesus, and I'm talking change the whole entire course of their life, save their marriage, heal their, I mean, just really do an incredible thing. How many of y'all know somebody like that? They need God to work in their lives. And so let's take a moment right here. And as I'm praying, I want you to mention to the Lord the name of that person that you're believing for, that you're going to intentionally invite to the Easter service. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have called us to the kingdom, Father, that you put us in this place at this time. And Lord, we have friends and family and co-workers and neighbors, Lord, that we want to lift up to you today. Lord, we're planning to invite them to this Easter service, Father, so that their lives can be changed. But Lord, we're asking now, Lord, that you would begin to open their hearts, Father. Lord, I just pray now, God, for each and every individual that is on the minds and the hearts of everyone here. Lord, that you would begin to prepare their hearts, God, so that when the invitation is given, Father, that they will respond. And Lord, we're believing that on that Sunday, whenever they're sitting here in this service, we're believing that the Holy Spirit will work on their heart and draw them to the place that they will commit their heart and their life to you, Jesus. And we're believing that you will save their soul. You will save their families. You will save their lives, God. So, Lord, right now, I stand together with every person here today. We stand together in faith, believing, Lord, for a harvest of people that will come and commit their lives to Jesus. For friends, Lord, for family members and co-workers and neighbors, God, we're believing today, God. Today, Lord, we're believing that they will commit their lives to you and be saved. So, Lord, right now, we give you praise ahead of time. We give you praise in advance, Lord, for what you're going to do on that day. And we thank you now, God, for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So listen, I want to encourage you to continue to pray and go ahead and begin to invite them. Don't wait too long to invite them. Go ahead and hand them that little card and say, hey, we want to invite you to come and join us on Easter Sunday. That's going to be a great, great day. It's going to be phenomenal. I can't wait for that to come. I do want to recognize Miss Deborah Harris, and she is here with us today. She leads up the Making Miracles group home. Come on, let's show her some love. Why don't you stand? We've been partnering up with her, and she has a ministry to these young ladies and really helping them move forward in their walk with Christ. And so she's visiting with us this morning. I just wanted to honor her and welcome her to Emerge. Come on, give her another hand. Thank you, Miss Deborah. So this morning, we're going to continue on with our series, Heart of the Matter. We're going to part three. And for those who may have not heard the other parts of the series, I just want to kind of recap a little bit. In week one, we kicked off this series and we talked about three things that affect our heart. And we talked about our hunger, our hurts, and our habits. These three things are affecting our heart, and they can affect your heart in a good way and also in a bad way. And it's all what you do. It's all what you're feeding yourself. It's all in how you handle your pain, and it's all what your daily routine is looking like. And we came to the conclusion that if we're going to have a heart that is changed, we must surrender our heart to God. And then last week, we picked up from there, and we talked about a surrendered heart and how do I surrender my heart. And this is how we kind of defined it. Surrendering our heart means I'm giving God permission to access every area of my life. I want you to hear that. I'm giving God permission to access every area. Say every. Look at your neighbor and give them the eye, and they know what you mean. Tell them every area. Not just a couple of spots, not just Sunday, not just, you know, the good parts, but all of the areas of our life. And we said last week that God can change our hearts, that God can heal our heart, and God can fill our heart. And at the end of the service, as we were finishing up, I mentioned to you that today we were going to talk about guarding our heart. And I want to speak this message to you today because I believe this one is really, really important, because there's a lot of things that are going on in our world and we're trying to figure out the root of it. We're trying to figure out, why is this like this? Why do people do the things they do? And we're trying to point at a lot of different things. At the end of the day, it comes down to the heart. And so today I really want to talk to you about how we can guard our heart. So let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 20. When you go to the book of Proverbs, you know it's serious. Tell your neighbor, say it's on. We're going to Proverbs today. We're going to do some business. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 23. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words." Now, it's serious whenever the verse starts out with, "My son, pay attention." That sounds like a little parental talk. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to imagine the Lord is speaking to you today and he's saying, "My son, my daughter, pay attention." It's kind of like, look at me right here. Look at me. Pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. That's a good verse right there. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do, that's everything, everything you do flows from it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for our time together as a church. I pray now, Lord, that every heart will be open to receive and to hear what you want to speak to us today. So, Lord, I ask for your help as I communicate this message. Help me to say it in the way that you want it said and communicate it with the tone that you want to communicate it with. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have anointed me and you have given me this opportunity to speak this message. And I pray, Lord, it'll be life-changing. It'll be life-giving. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, we live in a world that is full of hurts. You don't have to look far to see people who are hurting. And there's a lot of different things. Maybe it's physical, but a lot of it is emotional, where people are hurting and we're trying to figure out, how did we get to this point? Like, how did we get here where so many people are hurting? We live in the most blessed nation on the planet, but at the same time, there's so much hurt. There's so much heartache. We have so much stuff. We have so much opportunity. There are so many just possibilities. We can dream the dream and we can live it. We can do so many things. How come at the same time that there's all of this opportunity and blessing, there is so much hurt? And how come a child can grow up in a home that looks like it's well off and have all of the great things that life has to offer, and yet that child still grow up hurting? How can that happen in this world that we live in this great country that we live in? How does all of this happen? And I think it comes down to the heart. There's an aching in people's hearts. And then the question goes even further. How can a person who has a relationship with Jesus still be in a place where they're hurting on the inside, when Jesus, who is our healer, and they have every opportunity to receive the healing that comes from him, how can they still be walking in such heartache? And how can so many things still be going on in their lives? And how can the divorce rate be so high still, even though they're believers? How can all of this stuff be happening whenever there is a Savior and there is a Redeemer? What is going on? You ever sat there and just said, "What is going on?" Like, watch the news just one, like 10 minutes, and you're like, "What in the world is going on?" And typically what we begin to do whenever we see these things, we start blaming influences and we start looking at this and we start saying it's because of that and it's because of this, and we start creating all of these different excuses and play the blame game to explain what's going on in our world. And we think all of this is going on around us, and what we fail to realize is that all of this is actually going on inside of us, because it's not just happening to us, it's things that are happening in us. And I believe that there are some things in the scripture that we read today that I think is going to help pull out some ideas as far as guarding our heart, because we have to be wise about what God is doing in our lives. Amen. And we have to be able to protect it and maintain it. So let's break it down a little bit this morning. Let's talk about this word, guard your heart. Let's talk about guarding. And that word guard in the Bible, it literally means to protect, to maintain, and to preserve. I want to protect my heart. I want to cover my soul. I want to maintain it. I want it to keep going well. Come on, it is well with my soul. I want it to keep going well. Can I get an amen there? I don't want it just to be well right now and after a while be a train wreck. I want to have some consistency with things going well in my life. So I must guard it. I must protect it, but I also must preserve it. Now, this is something that is kind of obvious, but it'll start shedding some light on this, is we often guard things that are valuable to us. If it's worth something to us, we tend to keep an eye out on it. And here's a good example. We guard our possessions. You lock your doors at night. I hope you do. Some of you, you live way out and you don't. Good for you. We live here, and so we locking up. We locking the door. But why are we locking the door? Because it's valued. We have people in that home that are valuable to us, and so we must protect this house. I had to say it. I'm sorry. I had to say it. We lock our automobiles because it's valuable to us. And so we want to make sure that nothing happens to it. And so some of you have the car alarm, you have the house alarm. And what are you doing? You're guarding your stuff because it is valuable to you. Another thing that is valuable to us is our money. And so we protect it. We put it in the bank. We have safes. We try to keep it safe because we don't want anything to happen to it, because y'all know we worked hard enough to get it. Ain't no one come and steal it. Amen. And so we protect it. So we guard it because it has value to us. And those are some very obvious things. But some of the other things that we tend to protect and guard is things like our reputation. You ever had somebody in your own family say something about you and you had to set the record straight? And you waited till like Thanksgiving or Christmas to do it. Not a good time, by the way. Just not a good time. But we want to guard our reputation. Like, we don't want anybody to think anything of us. And if they do, we will let them know how it really is. And then we have a whole new reputation that we have created. But we want to guard our reputation because it's something that is valuable to us. Another thing that we want to guard is our image. Come on, we want to look good. We like to look good. Tell your neighbor, you look good. Just tell them that. They might need that compliment. Don't lie to people, though. Don't lie to people. Trying to have church here, man. We want to look good. We want to look nice. And we guard our image. We guard our health. We want to make sure that we can live as long as we possibly can until they put the fried chicken in front of us. And then we bless the food. Bless it, Lord. We guard the things that are valuable to us. Now, we know the Bible tells us to guard our hearts above all else. But what happens is sometimes we get it backwards, because we guard all else more than we guard our hearts. We take care of all of this, and we're just kind of like in the flow of life, just running and gunning and doing our thing, trying to maintain and preserve and protect all the stuff that we've got. And along the way of taking care of all these other things, that's where we find ourselves in the place where our heart takes on some things we didn't realize that it was going to take on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But the Bible specifically says, above all else, guard your heart. Maybe we're giving some attention to some things, even though they're valuable, we're giving more attention to those things than we are the most important thing, our heart. We can easily spend more time worrying about things like how many carbs that we're putting into our bodies than we do about the spiritual content that we're putting into our hearts and our minds every day. We spend a lot of time counting things and managing things, but yet, even though all of these external things are managed so well and everything is in its place and it looks perfect, and surely everyone knows that we got it going on the inside, it is quite possible that our heart can really be a mess. I mean, just because the kid's room is clean doesn't mean that the closet is. Doesn't mean that under the bed it's nice. I mean, all you got to do is open the door and you realize, come on back up here. And this is most of the time how we're living our lives. We got all the things on the outside taken care of. We're taking care of our physical lives, but we let our guard down whenever it comes to our heart. And what happens is we let anything come in at any time, and then we wonder why our life has taken the course that it has taken. We wonder why we're influenced by certain things, because we've been feeding on it. We've been eating. Remember what we said in week one? We have these hungers that need to be fed. And because we're hungry, we're searching. It's like we're searching for something to eat. And sometimes we're eating some things spiritually that are just not good for us, thinking it's not going to have any consequences. But later on, we begin to see how it's influencing the flow. It's influencing the direction of our lives. And we didn't even know that it can do that to us. And here's a verse I want to throw at you just to bring some perspective. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. It says, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? What happens if you get it all and everything is just perfect in your family? What if everything at your house just looks exactly perfect and you got it all going on? Your reputation, everybody thinks you are the man. Everybody just thinks you got it all, but something in your soul just isn't right. What if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? It almost seems like we're selling our soul to get all these other things. That's what it feels like. That's what it seems like. And there's nothing wrong with all of these things, but what are we willing to give up? Our very heart, our very soul, to get them. No wonder we're so stressed out. Now, let's talk about the heart, because there are some important things you need to know. Because this is the foundational things that is going to set the tone for the rest of this message, okay? See, it's with your heart. It's with your heart that you're able to love God and love people. That's the part of you that is able to love. It's your heart, okay? So I can love God and love people because I have a heart. It's with my heart that I'm able to trust God and trust people. Think of it. Somebody messes with your heart, you're no longer able to trust them anymore. Somebody messes with your heart, you may not be able to love them anymore. Think if this happens over and over and it starts messing with your heart. You won't love anyone anymore. You won't be able to trust anyone anymore. This is why it's so essential and so important that we talk about our heart, because it's our heart that determines our love. It's our heart that's determining our ability to trust God, to trust people. It's also our heart that God sees when he looks at us. It's your heart. That's what he sees whenever he looks at you. So we must guard our heart so that our life will flow the way that God intended. How many of you are interested in this? Okay, so let's jump in. How do we guard our heart? And I'm going to get really, really practical today. I had a bunch of ideas, but I just wanted to get this thing practical. And I really wish I had more time to dive deeper. So I'm just going to have to give you a shotgun version of it, okay? Are y'all cool with that? I've got a feeling you can read in between the lines. So let's just pull out the shotgun and shoot, okay? Here we go. The first thing, how do you guard your heart? The first thing you have to do is you have to know your enemy. You have to know your enemy. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, stay alert. Stay alert. Watch out. I mean, this is just plain language. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's looking for someone to take advantage of. He's looking for someone to manipulate and twist and to deceive. Another verse, John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. The first thing you have to know is that there is an enemy. We know that God is for us, amen? Because he's done proving it to us through sending Jesus, paying the price on the cross so that all of our sins could be completely forgiven. But at the same time, there is an enemy out there who is Satan, the devil, who his one job, his one thing he wants to do is to keep you away from all that God's got. He's trying to separate you from God, and he will use any tactic and anything that he can, and sometimes he'll even use people to do it to you. Come on, don't look at no one right now. They might think that you think that they are the one. We don't need to go there. Let's be nice. So let's break down this enemy, and I'm going to put it into some actions so that you're able to recognize how he might be at work, okay? See, he's described as an accuser. He's an accuser of the brothers, and this is what he'll do. He'll condemn you to make you believe that you're no good, That's one of his tactics. He will condemn you to make you believe that you're not good enough. Most people who give up because they don't feel like they're good enough to keep going. This is what the enemy will try to do. He's also a deceiver. And the way he deceives you is by confusing you so that you don't know what to do or even what to think anymore. That's what he's trying to work. He's trying to create confusion in your life. This is why you have to know your enemy. Because if not, what we try to do, this is what we'll try to do to guard our heart. It's just get really spiritual, talk really fancy, and act like we all good spiritually when there's an enemy at work in our own life. He is in your house, in your heart, and he is just dominating you, just acting like he ain't there. Come on. So he's a confusing, he's trying to cause confusion in your life. Another thing is this, he's a divider. Think of this in your family. Think of this in your relationships. He is a divider. And what he's trying to do is cause some conflict in your mind. He's trying to cause some conflict in your relationships. He's trying to cause some conflict in your family. He's trying to cause some conflict in your church. He's trying to get you to the place that you are conflicted, because if you're conflicted, then you're vulnerable. Do you understand how this enemy can work? And we have to be aware that there is an enemy. Another thing is that he's a liar. He just straight up, he's a liar. Sometimes you just got to call it what it is. He's a liar. And this is what he does. He tries to control us with false information. Do you know that there are things that we believe about ourselves that are not even true? And it's controlling us. I can't. I won't ever. It's controlling us, so we never take steps of faith because we just think it's going to result in failure. He is lying. Just like the Holy Spirit can speak to you and bring you closer to the plans of God, the enemy can speak to you and pull you right away. This is why we got to guard our hearts. Here's another thing. He's a tempter. And what he's trying to do is con you into something to separate you from God. Again, he's trying to get you to a place that you're vulnerable. See, it's in the places that we're vulnerable that we're more likely to fall. Get him alone, and he can take advantage. So you have to know your enemy, first and foremost. Now, let me say this. Because we're not just going to fall into the camp of just blaming the devil for everything, because sometimes we just make some pretty dumb decisions, amen? I ain't saying there ain't no influence. I'm just saying sometimes you just got to know better. So let's not just say the devil made me do it without realizing there has to be some good disciplines in your life, and we're going to get to that at number three. But I just need to say that right now before you get too comfortable with the blame game, okay? I'm just letting you know there is an enemy. And if you don't know there is an enemy, you always think something's wrong with you. But there is an enemy at work in our world, okay? So that's our enemy. It's Satan himself, okay? Now, here's the second thing. You have to know your enemy, but you also have to know your weapons. Because you can't just guard something by watching it. You got to have something that can bring some force to the table to stop an attack from happening. Okay? Most of the time when you see a guard, he is armed. And I don't believe that God just wants us to walk around without anything to arm us. Okay? So look at your neighbor and say, you might be armed and dangerous. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And we're going to read a little bit here, so hang with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish, I love that, to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought, I'm going to get it, to make it obedient to Christ. Are you grabbing this? I mean, this is strong. This isn't just some little patty cake verse right here. This is some strong stuff. And it's like Paul is letting us know, the Apostle Paul, he's letting you know, listen, you have some weapons. You don't have to tolerate the attack from the enemy all the time in your life, messing with your heart, messing with your mind, messing with your family. You are armed and dangerous, and it's time to do something about it. And so he's saying, listen, you don't have to fight the way the world does. You don't have to call them and give them a piece of your mind. You don't have to let the whole world know, this is how it is. You don't have to do all of that because it's not accomplishing anything. It's not accomplishing anything. It's just furthering the drama. So what are you going to fight with? We're going to get some divine weapons, some godly weapons that is able to demolish some strongholds. You're sitting there trying to tell off somebody in your family for something that's been going on for years and years, and you thought because you had enough courage to finally tell them it was going to be the end of it. You didn't defeat an enemy. All you did was told a family member off. There's an enemy alive in there, and that stronghold has to be broken off of your family. And so we got to see it for what it really is, or else we're just going to keep trying to play this pretty little Christian game and think everything's all right. Just trust Jesus. Yeah, trust Jesus, but you better do something with this stronghold in your life, or else it'll pass on from you to your kids. And the one thing we don't want is our kids fighting our devils. Come on, somebody. Ephesians 5, verse 10. It says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Say strong. See, that's weak. Say strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You see, we don't feel like we have strength because we think our strength comes from ourselves. But our strength comes from the Lord. In him, I am strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In verse 11, put on all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. You got to put something on. See, we're leaving our heart all vulnerable. We got to put some armor on. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Somebody needed to hear that today. But against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You didn't even know the Bible said that stuff because you thought we can diplomatically negotiate with the devil and he would leave us alone when he is just manipulating you and conning you the whole time. But God said it's time to destroy this enemy that is coming against you. You ever reached a point where you said, I got enough? What you got enough of? Most of the time we got enough of that other person in our house. Come on. But what if there's an enemy? I remember we had a couple years ago, we can hear this scratching in the wall. Now we clean, so don't worry, okay? But in the middle of the night, we'd wake up and you would hear like some scratching. I mean, it's a Lifetime movie happening at my house, man. I mean, it's just, and so Cynthia begins to come up with all of these ideas of what's going on. Someone's trying to get us. Go take them out. I'm like, it's not a big deal. Just go back to sleep. And then you hear it again. It would just make you angry because as much as you're trying to make sure that your home is safe, you still hear that little on the wall. And it reached a point that I had enough. And so I called this guy, and he was going to come and set up a couple of traps. But that was not good enough for me. Because, you see, he doesn't stay there at night, and he doesn't have to hear it. I need this thing to go away now. So in addition to the traps that he put out, I went and found poison. Yes, I did. Don't get mad at me. My kids didn't eat it, okay? I went and found poison. I went and get those sticky traps. And you say, that's inhumane. I don't really care. I mean, I'm serious. It's the middle of the night and people are going crazy in my house. It's got to go. And in 2 days, it was gone. And it wasn't, listen, I hate to say this, the pest control guy's trap did not catch it. It was my trap. I'm just letting you know. When you get desperate, you do stuff. It's got to go. Can't live with it. And this is the thing. We have these things in our lives that are literally scratching on the walls of our heart. And it's reminders of things from the past. And it's constantly messing with you. And it's really not interfering with everything, but it's there. And there are certain times where it's more noticeable than others. And you're trying to figure out why. Why is this still there? Why there's an enemy? And it's a silent enemy. And we got to get rid of this enemy. And how are you going to do it? How are you going to get what? You got to get some weapons. And so whenever you start hearing this, know your weapons, he begins to break down the armor of God. And this is the one thing I want to say right here before we start breaking these weapons down. Whenever it comes to guarding your heart, and this is a huge line right here, do not isolate, insulate. Do not isolate. Do not go into hiding. You must insulate. A lot of people just try to run away from it. And they think that's how you make it go away. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He will find you. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to give you the realities of how this works. So you can run here, you can run there. It doesn't mean that you found the right place, because the place that you're trying to get away from is what's going on right here. And you can't get away from this because it's in you. And so you can't isolate yourself. You must insulate yourself. So these are the weapons that we have been given. This is the armor that we've given. The first one is the belt of truth. And the belt of truth helps us take down every lie of the devil. I wear a belt. You don't see it often. My dad raised me to always wear a belt. If you don't have a belt on, something's wrong with you, son. If you don't wear a belt, that's fine. You didn't grow up at our house. We wear belts. And I need a belt because I need to hold my pants up, okay? And so think of your life. You need a belt to hold up your life, and you need the belt of truth, because the enemy is always going to throw a lie at you. He's always going to try to deceive you. And if you have truth in your life, you'll be able to see through the lies of the enemy. Another thing is the breastplate of righteousness. And this is what this righteousness thing does. It stops the condemnation. And it reminds me that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, he's always telling you you're not good enough. And he's just constantly attacking you, trying to tell you you're not good enough. They don't really love you. Those people at that church, they don't love you. They just kind of like that because they want a lot of people there. That's the kind of stuff the enemy tries to do. But when we have the breastplate of righteousness, we're like, hold on. Because we have a righteous calling. We have a righteous cause that we're all about. And we want to see all people say yes to Jesus. So enemy, not today. Get behind me, Satan. Do you see how your confidence begins to grow when you know what your enemy is and you know what weapons that you have? Now your confidence begins to grow. And a lot of people aren't confident because they don't know what they got. All they know that they have is pain. But they don't realize that there is these weapons. There is a way to protect yourself. There is a way to be strong in the Lord. And God has given it all to us. Amen? So there's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then there's the shoes of peace. And this helps me stay firm, helps me to stay planted, helps me to stay grounded when he tries to come and deceive me and confuse me and trick me. It keeps me from running. I can still have peace even in the middle of the battle. See, peace isn't the absence of battle. It's not the absence of war. It's what I have in the middle of the war that sustains me during the battle. Amen? See, sometimes we're trying to make everything go away. Sometimes you just got to go through it. Shoes of peace. Another thing, take up the shield of faith. It helps me block every dart, every temptation, every attack on my faith. I take up the shield of faith. I'm going to believe God over that. I'm going to believe God rather than listen to that kind of stuff. I'm going to trust in him. So I'm blocking all of these thoughts, all of these negative things that the enemy is throwing at me. And even if somebody says it to me, it might not just be me thinking it. It might be someone specifically telling me that. I'm going to hold up the shield of faith and still believe God rather than listen to the condemnation that they may be giving to me. Some of you, you want to punch the person. Don't punch the person. Take up the shield. Just block it. See, if you want to learn how to not be offended, take up the shield of faith, because the enemy is going to try to come in and cause the conflict. Take up the shield. We'll get to that in a sec. Helmet of salvation guards my mind against the condemning thoughts and reminds me that he is my salvation in the middle of this. I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Helps me to overcome every temptation that comes my way. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted, and every time the Satan threw something at him, what did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. There is stuff that is coming at you all the time. Do you know what's written? It is written. That's the sword of the Spirit. So you got to know your enemy. You got to know your weapons. The third thing is you got to know your boundaries. You have to know what your boundaries are. Because it's one thing to have an enemy coming against you. It's another thing for you just to act like a fool. And this is an area that most people lack right here, is boundaries. And here's the verse of scripture I'm going to give you, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. And this is what they were saying. Watch this. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Yeah, you have freedom in Christ and you can do anything, but it's not going to be good for you. Are you hearing this today? You may think you can live however you want, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be beneficial for you. After church today, we can go and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and it will be good. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be beneficial for us. You can skip work tomorrow and watch Netflix all day, and it will be a great day. You will finally get caught up on that show. And some of you, you're getting an idea right now. But it may not be beneficial for you on Tuesday when you get to the office because you're so far behind that you can't catch up. And now they want to know, what's the problem? So it you can do what you want, but it's not beneficial for you. Are you seeing how this works? And so it is with us and the decisions and how we live our lives. We can live however we want, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be beneficial for us. Doesn't mean that it's going to be constructive for our lives. So watch this. In order to protect our heart, we must place some boundaries around our life. We have to put some boundaries in place to hold us. And if we don't have boundaries, we're liable to do anything. Anything, okay? Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. So here's a good way to set boundaries. Again, I'm shotgunning this thing. I got a lot of stuff, so you got to grab it. Here's a good way to set boundaries. The first thing, what does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible say about it? This thing that you're dealing with, what does the Bible say about it? Use God's word to set some godly convictions in your life. Are you going to his word for convictions, or are you observing the culture to determine your own set of values? Let's get the plan that God's got and apply it to our lives and use this as some boundaries for us, okay? So that means we're going to build our life on godly principles. So I seek wisdom from God's word and from godly people. I seek wisdom from his word and from godly people. So what does the Bible say about it? Here's the next thing. Use discernment through prayer. Use discernment. In other words, think about it. Think about, watch this, think about the consequences of it. Think about the value of, does this add value to my life or does this take value from my life? Is it worth it just to go and tell them exactly how I feel? Like that's an area where you got to have a boundary or else you'll just tell everybody off and this is what you'll find. I have no friends. What is wrong with people? Everybody is just mean. You told them all off. They don't want anything to do with you because they have boundaries. You see what I'm saying? So we have to put some boundaries in our lives to keep ourselves from going off the deep end. We got to put some boundaries on our heart because there are going to be opportunities that come up for you to be offended. And you just have to say, I'm not letting myself fall into that trap. Because I know if I get into that trap, it's going to lead me down a road that is hard to recover from. So I'm going to stay in a place of walking in God's forgiveness and showing grace because God has given me his grace. So I'm going to let grace be a boundary for me. Do you see how this is working? See, so many times, back to the isolation thing, we try to just get everything out of our lives, just make it all go away. I'm going to isolate myself. When you can insulate yourself with some good boundaries, you can put on the armor of God, and you can walk through any hell, and it will not destroy you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you seeing how this works? And this is how we're going to be able to protect our heart. I've got to set some boundaries. And here's another thing. If all else fails and you don't know what to do, raise the standard. If you're in a situation you don't know what to do, raise the standard. Meaning this, take the high road. Take the high road. And this verse right here is going to make it really, really clear for you. Isaiah 59, 19, it says, the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord raises the standard against it. it raises the standard. In your life, you're going to be tempted to go low. I mean, if you want to take them out, chop them at the knee. That's what we think. Let's take the high road, though. Amen? Raise the standard. That needs to be the way that we set our boundaries. Here's the last one. I'm running out of time. Know your enemy, know your weapons, know your boundaries. The last one is know your Savior. Know your Savior. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong fortress, and the godly run to him and are safe." The name of the Lord is a strong fortress, and the godly run to him. Run to him. In the situations you're dealing with in your heart, have you been running to him? Have you been going to him? Watch this. Are you giving him permission to access it? Are you opening your heart to him saying, "God, I need you in this area"? Or are you running from him? Are you keeping it from him? Or are you giving it to him? See, we have this incredible opportunity with every situation in our life. We take on these different roles. We take on these different responsibilities, and they sit in our hands. And we get the opportunity to make the decision what we're going to do with it. What I'm going to do with my life. What I'm going to do with my time. What I'm going to do with my family. What I'm going to do with my opportunities. I get that. God gives that to me and gives me a free will to choose whatever I'm going to do. And I have to know my limits. You have to know your limits. You have to know your strengths. You have to know your weaknesses. But most importantly, you have to know your God. Because the God who created you has a plan for your life. It is a really good plan. It's way better than what you can ever come up with. In fact, if you put yourself on a path of living out God's plan, you will see how he has considered all the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's why it's so important with all of these responsibilities and opportunities, all of these different decisions that I have. The most important decision that I make is that I will bring it to him and I will trust in him and I will do this whole thing living my life God's way instead of living it my own. Even though there's a tempter out there trying to help me see, trying to confuse me into believing that there is a better option, that there is a better way. There's an easier route to take. There's a shortcut to take. But I got some boundaries in my life because I understand faithfulness. Amen. I understand the plan of God. I understand how it works. And so I got my shoes of peace on and I'm going to stay planted right there in the will of God, even though there are some tempting ideas that may come along the way. Because I want to see, I want to live, I want to experience all that God has for me more than I want to continue to live with the hurt, the pain, and rather than trying to find a cure in all these temporal things, I want to find healing in him. I thought of this example yesterday. It says, guard your heart because out of it flows. And I begin to think of a river. And a river starts at a source. There's a source. I remember when I was a kid, we were learning about the Mississippi River. Grew up in Louisiana, and the Mississippi River, really, I mean, it drives the economy. It's huge. The Mississippi River starts up in Minnesota, a small lake called Lake Itasca. Come on, you're getting educated today. You didn't know that. Y'all live in Florida. Y'all don't learn that stuff. Y'all learn about the ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, and that kind of stuff. And along the way down from Minnesota all the way to the coast of Louisiana, there are these tributaries that flow into the Mississippi River. And all of these rivers that flow into it deposit something into that river. Some of it's good. Some of it's not so good. But as that river begins to flow, it opens up and it gets bigger and bigger. In fact, in Baton Rouge, the water is really deep. And if you tried to swim, it's over for you. You can't do it. It's too much of a current. It's too strong. It's a very, very powerful river. And it flows all the way down into Plaquemines Parish. And there's the delta, also known, watch this, as the mouth of the river. There's a source, there's tributaries, there's a mouth, there's banks there's boundaries. The Mississippi River serves as a boundary for many states, many parishes in Louisiana. The Mississippi River serves as a boundary for. And I begin to think of all of this that we're talking about today. Guard your heart because out of it flows. And I begin to think about what's the source. What is the source of life for you? Where are you drawing your life from? Is it from him? Or are you trying to find life from friendships? Are you trying to find life from your entertainment? And watch this. We want to know why there's so much drama in our lives, because entertainment is our biggest influence. Think of this. We're watching drama all the time. It's a big influence in our life, and we have to be aware of this. But what is the source? He is the source of our life. There are tributaries that flow into my life. I have to be smart about what I'm letting come in to my life. That means I got to be smart about the things that I'm letting my eyes see and letting my ears hear. There are some things you got to say, I don't listen to that. I don't watch that. That's not old school Bible church teaching trying to tell you what you can and cannot do. That's called discernment. Amen? That's called wisdom. That's called, I'm not letting that junk in my house. There's banks on the river. In Louisiana, they put levees all along, and the reason they put levees is because sometimes the content of the river gets too great for the banks to hold it, and so the levees hold it in place and keeps it from destroying people's lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You've got to have some boundaries. Some of us, we need to do a better job of building some levees in our lives, because sometimes our mouth is just spilling all kinds of things. We need some boundaries. We need some levees, because there's just a flood of emotion that's happening in us, and we got to keep this thing in between the lines. But then there's a mouth. And if you want to know what's in a person's heart, listen to their mouth. Listen to the way they're speaking. The way we're speaking about our families. The way we're speaking about our marriages. The way we're speaking about other people. I heard something this week. I was at the doctor, and I heard something that just crushed my heart. This little girl, she was just acting like a little girl, and this mom was trying to control her and could not control her. And this person walks by and just kind of acknowledges the child, and the mom says, "Whose kid do you think this is? Not mine, that's for sure." And it was her kid. What is that? Like, what is that? Raising that child. Like, all I can, I had to put the levees up right there. You know, I had to, like, do a lot of work because I wanted to, like, handle it. You know what I'm saying? And I could have. I had some good stuff. Really good stuff. But I decided, no, that's not my place. It wasn't for me. I had to have some boundaries, or else newspaper, pastor, don't need all that. Not good for the church. But it had me thinking, what's going on with this lady? What's messed with her heart so much that this is how she views her own child? Like, how did she reach that point? Chances are there were some things that hurt her. There were some things that she's allowed into her life that's influenced her, because she just didn't simply guard her heart. That's why I think this message is so important for us, because with everyone here, there are some things that have hurt your heart and has shaped how you parent. There are some things that have hurt your heart and has shaped your marriage. It's shaped the outlook of your career. It's shaped so many things, and we're continually looking for these sources to do something for us. We must go back to the source of life, which is him. Where am I going to run for safety? Where are you going to run? Who are you going to confide in? I got to run to him, because he, watch this, he's my forgiver. He is my healer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. He is my refuge in times of trouble. He is the giver of grace. Come on. He is the hope dealer. He is the life changer. He is the grace giver. I can go on and on and on. Why would I not go to him? Why, whenever I know that I must surrender my heart, why would I still try to take care of it on my own? Today, I want to encourage you, if you're going to guard your heart, know who your enemy is, but know what your weapons are. Set some boundaries in place in your life, and know that the hiding place for you is hiding in him. This is the final verse today. I have hidden his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I've got a hiding place. I've got some stuff hidden in here you didn't know was there, devil. I got a verse for you, buddy. When you're going to try to tell me that I can't do this, when you're going to try to tell me that I can't pastor a church, come on, that I can't lead my family, that I can't handle the pressure of this job, I've got a verse for you, buddy. Come on, you see what I'm saying? I got some spiritual confidence because I got a source. And I'm staying connected to the source. Are you connected to the source? Are you staying connected to the source? Or are you getting disconnected because of the issues, the other things that you're allowing to flow into your life? Let's go to the source. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, as we wrap this message up, two things. I know there's many here that dealing with a wounded heart because of things that have flowed into your life. Maybe it was things as you were growing up as a child, things that were said to you, things that were done to you, things that you experienced, things that were supposed to be done that weren't done, that left you to try to figure out how to do it on your own. And maybe those were the things that brought you to the Lord. But maybe today you're searching. You're looking, you're trying to find out how to make all this work. How do I make my heart beat again? How do I make it all go away? How do I fix it? And it keeps coming back to the same things over and over and over again. It's surrendering your heart completely to Him. And even as a kingdom veteran, a church veteran, we still struggle with continually giving our heart to Him. Because there are times where we take it back and feel like we got this, but we still will always need Him. And if you're here today, maybe you would say, Pastor Wade, I need to completely surrender my life to the Lord. There are areas that I haven't given to Him. There are things that I'm still trying to work out my own instead of opening my heart completely to Him. There are things in my heart that I've been trying to fix, trying to cover, it ain't working. And I need to give it to Him and let Him heal it, let Him change it. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to surrender my heart, all of my life to the Lord, I just want you real quick, would you lift a hand? Come on, anyone else? There's hurts. Some of you, you're carrying unforgiveness from things that are years and years old. Okay, you can put them down. Don't keep them up. Years and years ago, some of you are battling with some offense. You're carrying some things, and you've found it hard to forgive. And because you found it hard to forgive, you yourself find it hard to even receive forgiveness. Anyone else? A bunch of hands have gone up. Yeah. Here's the thing, and I want you to look at me today, especially those who are dealing with the unforgiveness stuff. So many times we put ourselves in a place of feeling like we're the ones that has to redeem it. You can't. You're not the redeemer. He is. But we must put ourselves in the place that we are willing to release it. And I release it to Him. That person that you're trying to hold hostage by this offense, you can't hold them hostage, but you can give them to Him. So the prayer sounds like this: God, I release them rather than God change them. See, that's our plan. God, change them and I won't feel this way. You still will feel this way until you release them. The hurts that you're carrying, until you release them to Him, you're going to continue to feel this way. Like we said last week, until you go to the doctor, you're going to continue to struggle with the issue. You got to go to the great physician and let Him begin to heal. You see, there are things that have to be resolved and there are things that have to be healed. That's why it doesn't feel like you've completely forgiven them, because the wound isn't healed yet. Amen? So I'm going to pray for you this morning. Dear Lord, I thank You for every person today that is saying, God, I must surrender. And You know the different areas, God, that they're holding on to. But Lord, I pray that we will put ourselves in a place that we are completely surrendered, all areas. That we give You complete access, complete permission to touch every area of our lives. Even the wounds. Even the secret areas, God. Even the things, God, that were done to us that no one else knows about. Even the things that we have done, God, that are just crazy ridiculous, that we wouldn't even want anyone to know about. Father, I pray now, Lord, that you will come into our hearts, God, and begin to heal, begin to change, begin to restore, begin to redeem, Father, because we know that you're the giver of life. So today we commit to make you the source. You are the source of our lives, and help us to use wisdom and discernment, Father, of the things that we allow to flow in our lives. And God, help us to block and use that shield of faith, God, to block everything the enemy tries to throw at us, to kill us, to steal us, to destroy our lives. And I pray, Lord, that our lives will overflow with your abundant life that is promised to us in Christ Jesus. So today, Lord, we surrender. Why don't you just let him know that? Say, Lord, I surrender it to you. If it's unforgiveness with that person, say, I release whatever their name is, say it. Say, I release them to you. I release them. And Father, I pray now that your grace will begin to cover and your grace will heal every wound. Make our hearts strong and healthy, Father. A heart that beats for you so that when our mouth opens up, life flows out of it. That we speak life. We speak hope in Jesus' name. Amen.